Hello, 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 everybody. How are you guys? How is everybody? Welcome to today's episode of Money That Is Intercontinental. It's been a minute since we're here, since the last episode that we recorded. Shout out to you guys for listening, for recording, for sharing it. Wherever you're listening from around the world, from Germany, from the US, from Spain, from Nigeria, whether that's on Substack, whether that's on Apple Podcasts, whether that's on Spotify, you guys are amazing. Shout out to you guys. Speaking of shout outs, I also want to give shout out to my co-host, my very amazing, the beautiful, the dimple faced, the beautiful smiled Hassana. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Femi. As always, thank you for the fantastic welcome to a new episode. Hi, everyone.
Yeah. It's a new episode. You know, every week we always have new episodes. We always have good stuff to talk about. You know, one thing that I always like talking about and what we do is that I enjoy this podcast because I believe we are solving a particular problem for businesses and for people who need to make payments abroad. Now, today, more specifically, we're talking about why startups cannot scale without payments. So if you have a friend who runs a startup, if you're thinking of running a startup yourself, you know somebody who runs a startup, this is a good time to share a link, to share the link with them, your brother, your cousin, even your ex, I know, right? Hassana, right? Even your ex, you can share it with them, right? I mean, if you guys parted ways on good terms, you can share it with them so that their business can take it to the next level. All right. So today we're looking at payments and infrastructure, why startups cannot scale without it. So I'm gonna ask you to do this. You're gonna share with us something first of all. So I see two examples here, two case studies here. So I'm going to ask you to share those two case studies, basically just to give us context as to how payment infrastructure drives scale. So let's hear from you about that.
So yeah, as Femi said, let's talk about the case studies. Let's take a Nigerian furniture company as an example. Let's say there's a young business owner based in, let's use Lagos, and the person is building a brand that specializes in modern furniture made with premium wood, premium fabrics. Their designs are great, their customers love them, but the problem now is sourcing materials at the right quality and price. So now they start looking abroad. I'm not saying things in Nigeria are not good, but yeah. They start looking abroad, they find reliable suppliers in, let's say, Turkey, for instance, and Asia, but things get tricky because to keep their production line running, they need to pay those suppliers on time. And if the payment doesn't land when it should, the supplier delays shipment. And when shipment is delayed, production slows down, customers don't get their furnitures on time. And now we are worried about the reputation of the brand. So before discovering a reliable payment solution, this company has wasted weeks going through banks, tracing failed transfers, or even paying huge hidden fees that have eaten into their margins. So once they switch to a trusted outbound payment platform, let's say in this case, one Remit, you know that stress has disappeared, the payments are cleared faster, and the impact is that instead of worrying about whether money will land, this furniture company can now focus on other aspects, let's say the design, the marketing expansion, because they're able to scale their catalog, open a showroom, even start exploring exports. So in this case, now the lesson is very simple. Without reliable cross-border payments, even the creative businesses can stall. And let's use another case study, which is from the export side. Think about an agribusiness that exports Zobo, dried hibiscus.
Sorry, so let's say. Sorry, guys. Europe. Zobo is, if you're in Ghana, it's Zobolo. That's Ghana and I think Togo. If you're in Nigeria, it's Zobo.
Oh, really?
If you are in the West, US, Canada, some parts of Australia, Brazil, Portugal, it's hibiscus tea. It's often sold as a type of tea. So that is the same thing. Sometimes it all comes spiced with mint or pineapples, or sometimes they add like watermelon, a bit of apples, and so on. But it's the same thing. So that you just have context to what we're talking about. So yeah, Hassan, you can keep going.
Like this case study is about Femi's business. I think it's about his family business, his double business.
Oh God. Please keep going.
So back to that. So like we said, a Nigerian agribusiness, Femi's business, exports dried hibiscus to like Europe and the Middle East, and their entire reputation depends on consistent delivery schedules. So when European buyer places an order, and that buyer is expecting not just quality goods but also timely shipping. Now, exporters like this depend on overseas logistics for warehousing, shipping, distribution, and these partners will not move a container until payment lands. And one delayed payment, suddenly the goods are stuck at port. That means missed delivery date, unhappy buyers, and even financial penalties for late supply. So now, this was like the exact challenge one exporter faced. They were losing credibility with long-term clients because their payment to logistic partners are getting delayed through traditional banking channels and all of that. So the result of now using a platform that's where things are going smoothly is that they not only retained old clients, but they want new contract because they are proving that they can be reliable.
Now we have an idea, or should I say, the context of the problem. Depending on which business you're running, whether you're in agribusiness, whether you are in pharmaceuticals, whether you're in furniture, whether you're in the automobile industry, whether you're in distribution and logistics, everybody faces the same hurdle and set in payments that is settling international partners. So that gives us a concept of the problem. Especially if you are in the global south. So that's Asia, Africa, if you're in global south, you generally have this problem. It's a very common problem that we all face. The challenge is usually that, the payments is an issue. You don't receive the money directly. Sometimes there are delays, there are bottlenecks. And like Hassan has said, it's very serious backbone for your business. So I asked Hassan to share that so that when we now talk about, the gap that exists, it's a bit easier to visualize and why one remit exists. Because like I said, what many businesses don't realize, and this is just to augment what Hassana said, what many people don't realize is that what you're really selling at the end of the day is trust. You are asking the business, your supplier, your vendor to trust you. Now, whether that trust is immediately compensated or validated by payment or a credit note is a separate conversation. But the point is, there is an element, there has to be an element of trust for that conversation to take place, especially when, in this case, it is a cross-border transaction. There has to be an element of trust, both on the side of the buyer and on the side of the seller. All right. So, Hassana, let's talk about trust as an infrastructure. So when we say trust as infrastructure, because I've talked about trust and how basically what you are selling and or buying is trust in a cross-border transaction, whether, like I said, depending on whichever industry that you are in, whether that trust is validated by an immediate payment or a delayed payment, the point is there has to be trust for transactions to take place. I don't know if you've heard the saying before that people buy from who they know and who they trust. So if your supplier cannot trust you, your logistic partner I cannot trust you. It would paralyze your business. All right. So, do you want to talk to us about trust as an infrastructure? How trust can ultimately structure the business, Hassan?
Yeah, because most people feel like payment is just about speed or let you just get it on time. But it's not just about speed. Like you said, it's about trust. So imagine you have negotiated a deal with a supplier in China and you have promised delivery to your customers in Nigeria. If your supplier doesn't get on time, deal will fall apart. So trustworthy payment means, for instance, your supplier knows they will be paid on time every time. You avoid any FX surprises, hidden fees that eat into margins. You stay compliant with regulations, so you're not exposing your business to risk. So yeah, trust is infrastructure, and in business, that trust translates directly into repeat contracts, stronger partnership, long-term growth, etc.
Very, very beautifully done. Very, very well done. Actually, I agree with everything you said. Trustworthy payments, smoother business equals smoother business relationships and repeat contracts. Once you can engender trust and cultivate that trust, it's easy to then build on that. So now, like I said, one remit has been developed to solve this problem, whether you're in Nigeria or you live in Gabon, live in Cameroon, you live in Angola, you live in Morocco, South Africa, Ghana, Togo, Burkina Faso, Senegal, Canada, the US, the UK, Europe, and so on and so forth. We can help you make sure that your payments arrive quickly, very, very quickly to the destination, safe and sound. We also ensure that you are not stranded in that sense, looking for liquidity to settle invoices or to settle your creditors, because sometimes the money hasn't arrived, so all you have is an invoice, a promise of a promissory note, which is basically both of them are similar, basically a promise of payment pending when the actual money arrives. All right, Hassana, do you have any other questions or points you want us to cover?
Just to pad what you have said, I would just say to every entrepreneur, SME, business owner listening, as you think about scaling your business globally, don't overlook payment infrastructure. It's not just about moving money. Like we have said, it's about building trust, keeping your supply chain intact, and unlocking opportunities worldwide. And at One Remit, that's exactly what we are here to provide, a reliable, transparent way for Nigerian businesses to send funds to over 100 plus countries. Whether you're paying suppliers, contractors, or covering international services, we make sure your payment becomes the backbone of your growth. Because you might not really understand the magnitude of this, but just think of payments like electricity. You don't notice it when it's working. Because, yeah, but the moment it fails, everything shuts down.
Sometimes when Hassana is digging deep into the meat of the conversation, I'm really struggling so that I don't interrupt her, because she's really just going and laying it out, back to back to back. Very, very, very well done. Very well done. So, like I said, if you have questions for us, send us an email, support at oneremit.co, or you go to oneremit.co. That's oneremit.co. Once again, oneremit.co. You visit One Remit and you send us a message. You can sign up there. I will be glad to help you. Sometimes there are people who say, "Oh, but I'm not one of these people. I'm an aggregate of these people. I work with these people, or I'm a vendor. I partner with these people. And how can this benefit me?" You come on board, we would find something that works for you. Because I know that at this time of the year, some people are overwhelmed. You feel free to come around to One Remit. Let's help you go from overwhelmed to just whelmed, to just whelmed. All right. So I don't take too much of your time, ladies and gentlemen. We've come to the end of today's podcast once again. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for reaching out. And to my ever laughing, ever beautiful co-host, Hassana. You have a few words for our listeners.
Well, you've said it all.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you on the next one. Bye for now.
Bye.